Typically, it's not fun to be around a know-it-all, but Skip Heitzig points out that Jesus was an exception to that rule.
You know, potentially, it could have been difficult to be around Jesus. Potentially. He knew everything. He displayed the very characteristic we're about to read, and we discussed tonight, the attribute of omniscience. It could be very tough. You know, Jesus, I was thinking... Yeah, let me finish your sentence. And yet, what is wonderful about him is he never used this attribute against someone to attack them, to intimidate them. In fact, he was so approachable, was he not? He used that attribute when he used it, usually to either rebuke religious leaders who were against him or to draw disciples to himself.
Make the connection.
It never ceases to amaze me how kids seem to know it all. I don't know if you've been around a child like this, but growing up, my kids would often respond to just about anything I said with, "I know." I was never sure how someone with an amassed life experience of just 8 years always knew as much as someone with an amassed life experience of, well, a few years more than that. But somehow, they always did. And you know what? It was kind of annoying to have kids who thought they knew it all. In fact, no matter what age they are, a know-it-all generally doesn't make good company. Well, today here on The Connection, Skip Heitzig explores the one exception to that rule, a God who knows it all, and who makes for very good company indeed. Before we get started with today's study, I just wanted to remind you that you can listen to many of Skip's past teachings when you visit our online teaching archive. There are over 1,200 teachings there for you to browse through, covering a wide variety of topics. Visit Skip's online teaching library today when you log on to connectionradio.org/library. You know, the truth is, it can be hard to admit that we don't know something. It affects our pride and makes us feel a little less useful. And that's probably why we don't like to be around know-it-alls. It's also probably why kids often insist that they do know it all. So isn't it amazing that a loving God who knows everything is still one we can really enjoy being with? We'll explore why that is in today's study. So don't go anywhere.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles to Psalm 139. As you find your place, Skip Heitzig begins by talking a bit about how we accumulate a lot of useless info.
We all know what trivia is, don't we? In fact, there's a game called Trivial Pursuit. I mean, imagine of all the things you could pursue, trivia. And some people are really good at it. And you know, trivia is all of that stuff that makes you go, huh, wow. But it's really worthless information. For the most part, I have a big compartment in my brain labeled worthless information. There's a lot of stuff. I know lyrics to songs. I may forget the scripture passage, but I know this lyric that's been stuck in there for many, many years. All of this knowledge we accumulate. Somebody from California gave this to me some time back. It's things I bet you didn't know. I bet you didn't know that no piece of paper can be folded over 7 times. Now, don't experiment with that tonight. Where's that bulletin, honey? Or, I wonder if you knew that donkeys kill more people annually than plane crashes. That is worthless information. Mosquito repellents don't repel. They hide you. The spray blocks the mosquito sensors so they don't know that you're there. I wonder if you knew that dentists recommend that you keep your toothbrush 6 feet from your toilet to avoid airborne particles that can result from the flush. Now that is good to know. I know your hygiene will change after tonight, I can just tell. I wonder if you knew that the liquid inside young coconuts can be used as a substitute for blood plasma. Or you burn more calories sleeping than you do watching television. I like that. That's what I need to be doing, not watching television, sleeping. A Boeing 747's wingspan is longer than the Wright brothers' first flight. Or American Airlines saved $40,000 in 1987 by eliminating one olive from each salad served in first class. Man. I bet you didn't know that apples, not caffeine, are more efficient at waking you up in the morning. Or most dust particles in your house are made from dead skin. You'll never forget that I said that. Michael Jordan makes more money annually from Nike than all of the Nike factory workers in Malaysia combined. It takes 3,000 cows to supply the NFL with enough leather for 1 year's supply of footballs. And finally, 35% of the people who use personal ads for dating are already married. Shame on them. Now we know. Now, I read that. You probably didn't know that stuff. And if you did know all those things, you're probably a miserable person to hang out with. I remember a guy in school growing up named Bart. And I'm not going to say his last name because this message goes on lots of different stations. And maybe he's a believer now. God bless him. But I'll tell you, Bart knew everything. In fact, it was hard to be around him. He'd say something, I knew that. In fact, and he'd add to it. You know, potentially, it could have been difficult to be around Jesus. Potentially. He knew everything. He displayed the very characteristic we're about to read, and we discussed tonight, the attribute of omniscience. It could be very tough. You know, Jesus, I was thinking, yo, let me finish your sentence. And yet, what is wonderful about him is he never used this attribute against someone to attack them, to intimidate them. In fact, he was so approachable, was he not? He used that attribute when he used it, usually to either rebuke religious leaders who were against him or to draw disciples to himself. I love the story about Jesus in the first part of the Gospel of John when Philip found Nathanael. And Philip says, we have found the one the prophets told us about, the coming Messiah. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said, well, come and check it out. So Nathanael comes to Jesus. Jesus sees Nathanael coming. Now, Nathanael, it seems, had this secret hideout that nobody knew about, a fig tree, where he liked to just sort of hang out and be alone. He was a loner. And Jesus looked at him and said, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael said, excuse me, but how do you know me? Jesus said, well, when you were under that fig tree, I saw you. At that point, Nathanael just goes nuts. He goes, you are the Son of God. You are the promised one. And Jesus said, you said all that because I said I saw you under the fig tree? Stick around, you're going to see greater things than that. But he used that attribute of knowing everything to make disciples. One of the first questions that people have in life, kids, is, well, what's God like? And it's a tough thing to explain, isn't it? Well, God is like, we stumble all over this whole description of what God is like. Especially some of these lofty attributes that we could never, ever attain to or compare ourselves to, like omniscience. And it's true, the finite the limited can never grasp totally the infinite, the unlimited. When a kindergarten teacher was walking through a classroom and the kids were drawing their little works of art, she came to one girl who was very intent on the drawing. She looked down and she was working hard and scribbling and wouldn't look up. And so the teacher just stopped out of curiosity, said, "And what are you drawing?" And she said, "I'm drawing God." The teacher kind of stepped back like blasphemous, you know. "Well, what do you mean you're drawing God? Nobody knows what God looks like." Without batting an eye, she said, "They will in a minute." Psalm 139 is what God looks like from David's perspective. It is his portrait. It's his portrait of God. In fact, it's a picture of his attributes, what God is like. These are not trivial facts. These are essential facts. And by the way, David's psalm is not a lecture in theology. It's his own personal musings on the nature and character of God. I call this his wow psalm, because that's tantamount to what he says in it. Look at verse 1. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it." That's his wow, in other words. Wow, unreal, too wonderful for me. Go back to verse 1, where he makes the statement of what God is like. He says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off." On the general level, we call this omniscience. Now, that's a more formal, theological-sounding term for God knows it all. God knows everything. He has infinite info. He is the ultimate knower of all things, past, present, future, everything we can possibly imagine, God already knows it. Which means that God knows more about every single field than any other expert in that field. And I always like to remind experts of that. You know, they are so smart. Well, God knows more astronomy than the expert astronomer. God knows more biology than the biologist. God knows more theology than the theologian or pastor or any other Christian. God is the ultimate knower. He knows more counseling than any counselor. Sometimes women will say, "I don't understand men." God does. Or men will say, "I can't figure them women out." God can. God understands men. God understands women. And you know what else? Miraculous as it sounds, God even understands teenagers. Completely and absolutely. This attribute of knowing everything, omniscience, is what is so God about God. It's one of the things that distinguishes him from ourselves. God never had to go to school or take tests or explore or learn something new. God's knowledge is instantaneous, intuitive rather than acquired. He doesn't have to study, and he never forgets. Isn't that wonderful? We forget so much. I forget so much. It's been estimated that man's accumulated knowledge from the beginning of recorded history, that if you could measure it from the beginning of time that we started measuring knowledge until the year 1845, if that were represented by 1 inch, then the knowledge we've acquired from 1845 to 1945 would be represented by 3 inches. And the knowledge we have acquired as a race from 1945 to 1975 is the height of the Washington Monument. And now they're telling us that accumulated knowledge doubles every few years, every couple of years, every 18 months, one report says. But you see, that's learned, that's accumulated. God's knowledge is instantaneous, and our knowledge compared to his knowledge is like near zero when you compare infinite knowledge with limited man. The prophet Isaiah asked this in chapter 40, "Who has understood the mind of the Lord?" Now, I've met people who think they, understand the mind of the Lord, but they don't. As soon as they say they do, I know they don't. Or who has instructed him as his counselor? Well, actually, I've known a lot of people who've counseled God unsuccessfully, but, "Well, God, you should have done that. Why does God not do this?" Who are you, God's counselor? Who has known the mind of God? Who has instructed him that you could even presume to counsel him? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? Who has taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? We are part-nishant. We're non-nishant in some cases, micro-nishant perhaps. God is omniscient. The comparison is striking. So that basically life, well, I guess it'd be like a rerun. You know, when you see a rerun, you go, "Well, I know it's going to happen." Imagine all of life being a rerun to God. He sees it all. He knows it all. And that's why God, and we've dealt with this, can predict the future so accurately. It's like no big deal to him. He can state things in advance before they happen. We have a tough time prognosticating the weather. I love it when the weather maps come up and people tell us what's going to happen, and then all of a sudden, they don't know it's coming, but a shift occurs. I remember a few weeks back, all the weather people in town, "It's going to be dry, it's going to be sunny," and then, boom, mega rainstorm. It was so cool. God knew that. This guy was driving through West Texas and pulled into a gas station to fill up. And there was a little wooden plaque with a rope dangling from it, and it said on top, "Weather predictor." So the guy asked the gas station attendant, "Excuse me, I don't get it. How can a rope predict the weather? How can you tell the weather from looking at a rope?" He said, "Quite simple, sonny. Whenever that rope is dangling, it's windy. Whenever that rope is wet, rain. Frozen stiff, snow. And when that rope is gone, tornado." So, was that supposed to impress people? I mean, big deal. Anybody can predict something while it's going on. That's really not a prediction. But God is different. He's omniscient. Isaiah 46, "I am God, there is no other. I make known the end from the beginning." That's his ability with omniscience. Now, what I want you to notice here is that David takes it from the general to the personal. He doesn't care to look at it as a theologian would examine God from afar, but he looks at it from the vantage point of himself. Notice the personal pronouns. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path, my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways." It wasn't academic to David. It was personal. Here is David the psalmist musing at God's omniscience, absolute knowledge of David himself, which he will take comfort in. Let me once again underscore the fact that we need to do what David did with all truth. We need to personalize it. We don't have the luxury to philosophize or theologize. When it comes to God's word, we must all move it from the arm's length into the personal and make it our own. There's three stages, by the way, of Bible study. There is observation. That's where you find out what it says. There is interpretation. That is where you find out what it means. And there is application, which is where you find out what it means to me personally. A lot of people stop with interpretation, or they stop with observation. David applies this to himself. Listen to what J.I. Packer wrote. Whenever we embark on any line of study in God's holy book, we need to ask ourselves, what is my ultimate aim and object in occupying my mind with these things? What do I intend to do with my knowledge about God once I've got it? If we pursue theological knowledge for its own sake, it's bound to go bad on us. It will make us proud and conceited. The very greatness of such a subject will intoxicate us. You know, I've met some drunk theologians, drunk pastors and teachers and Christians who are intoxicated on their own knowledge. What I mean by that is they knew a lot of stuff, but it didn't change them. Some of them still had rotten marriages. Some of them still had poor quality of worship on a personal level. Bad friendships. It didn't really change them from the inside. So the ultimate is to take the truth and make application, put ourselves in it. That's what David does here. And notice what he says. Lord, you have searched me. The word is, you have pierced me through. You know, sometimes we say, I can see right through that person. That's the idea. God can see right through David and each one of us. And you have known me, which means to examine carefully, so as to know you from the inside out. God sees through you, so to speak, and God knows you from the inside out. Now, just think about that for a moment. Dealing with a God like that can be a little unsettling. He knows everything? Like everything? Yep. People do have a fear of being exposed. We live in a very interesting age, the electronic age. There are surveillance cameras all over the place. So probably women roughed up their kids a lot in the past, but when it's caught on camera, the world is shocked. I can't believe that woman, what she did to her children. That was wrong. I'm not saying it's not, but that's just what that camera caught at that time. Imagine what God sees all the time.
You know, it is incredibly astonishing to think that despite the fact that God sees everything we do every single day, He still loves us, wants to forgive us, and desires for us to remain in constant fellowship with Him. He's the one know-it-all that we will never get tired of being around. That's going to wrap up our time for today. But before we go, here are all the details on how to get a great Bible study for the summer.
When you go to the pool or beach during the summer, it doesn't do much good to inflate that inner tube if you aren't going to get into the water. It also doesn't make much sense to go to church each week and learn about having faith in God if you aren't going to put that faith to work in your daily life. Live Faithfully is a study through the book of James that teaches the practical applications of the Christian faith. Lenya Heitzig and Penny Rose explore how James encourages us to put what we learn in church to practical use every day. Get a copy of the Bible study, Live Faithfully, for just $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. And when you order, we'll also send you Lenya's teaching, Mature Faith, on CD. Learn how practical faith can be. Get the Live Faithfully study and the Mature Faith CD for just $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888.
And if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, it's available for just $6 when you call us at 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Of course, anything you can share above that suggested donation is a big help to us. It's the support of listeners like you that make these daily studies in God's Word possible. So if you appreciate the time we get to spend together, and if you get something out of these studies, please consider helping us to not only continue them in your area, but to help share them in new areas all over the world. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And thank you for your support of The Connection.
And make the connection.
Talk more about the God who knows it all and the delightful role he can have in our lives next time. So be sure to join us. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.